Today we're going to share with you our experience working, setting up a geriatric medical home for Chinese elders in New York City. The obligatory conflicts of interest slide. And I have no conflicts of interest to disclose. So just to summarize, Chinese Americans are the fastest growing elderly segment in New York City. They face multiple barriers. Language, poverty levels are very high. Many of them have fairly low levels of education, and there are sort of cultural barriers to accessing American healthcare system. So we report on our experience in caring for about 230 vulnerable elderlies in a geriatric practice that we set up in a primary care setting. Just a little bit more background: Charles B. Wang Community Health Center, FQHC, founded in 1971. We have four locations in Manhattan and Queens. We serve about 40,000 unique patients, accounting for about 200,000 visits. And about 90% of the patients we see specify that they prefer to be served in a language other than English. This is the typical sort of movies view of Chinatown. It's actually changing these days. It's being gentrified. It's becoming more of a cultural destination. And the population of Chinatown is changing. The latest numbers we have are 5 years old. The area classically described as Chinatown is about 85,000 people. About 66% are Asian. 60% of those are foreign-born. Of Asians living in Chinatown, actually 70% have less than a high school education. Elders living in Chinatown, 70% have limited English proficiency, and about a third live below the poverty line. There's also some smaller studies, epidemiologic studies done by the Asian American Federation of New York City. It seems that the Chinese American community in Chinatown is aging. As younger people move away, the people who stay or left behind are older. So the proportion of elders who make up the Chinese population in Chinatown has actually increased by 30% in the last 10 years. Just to remind us all, Chinatown is located in the southeast corner of Manhattan, but actually the bulk of the Chinese population, Chinese American population in New York City, is actually now in Queens. This is Flushing, and then southern Brooklyn. So our patients mostly come from here, and some travel by train from here. We do have another site in Flushing where the bulk of the community is now moving towards, but our patients are not from there. In 2006, we received a funding to do a needs assessment. And not surprisingly, we surveyed elders and community providers. Chinese elders reported they had a lot of difficulty navigating the healthcare system. It was complex, it was bureaucratic, language issues, transportation issues. They report increasing needs for healthcare and difficulty sort of coordinating it. So we received funding from the Samuels Foundation to set up a medical home for Chinese elders, a two-year fund that was launched in 2009. What we do is essentially we screen our elderly patients for a vulnerability. Those that are vulnerable based on a VES-13, sort of a validated geriatric screening tool. We enroll in a comprehensive geriatric program. They get comprehensive geriatric assessment. They get psychosocial assessment. Each one gets an individual care plan, and each one sort of has at least one medication management session with a nurse. Our goal was to screen about 1,000 and enroll 200, and the total costs were about $500,000. This is just a flow sheet describing the enrollment. We actually ended up screening about 1,500. We have a very simple homegrown needs questionnaire. 400 of the 1,500 were positive for that. And then we administered the VS-13, and then 230 were positive, so those were enrolled. So who were they? Not surprisingly, given who our institution is designed to serve, 98% were Chinese, 60% were women. Preferred language, 83% preferred Cantonese, 14% preferred Mandarin. We had a smattering of other languages. Country of origin, really 94% were from China. The other includes Hong Kong, some Southeast Asian countries, Malaysia, Vietnam. Insurance. So we're fortunate that New York State and New York City are fairly generous with insurance. So almost 80% were dual eligible. We had a mix of some straight Medicare, some straight Medicaid, a few private, and some managed Medicaid. So at least financially, much of our services were reimbursed. Some more in-depth information. So we used the MINICOG to assess for dementia. Some of you may, so it's a little bit simpler and a little less sensitive to educational level than some of the other dementia screening tools. So we had a 21% positive rate for dementia. This is, the MINICOG is not that sensitive, so actual rates of dementia is probably higher. But those are results. We used the timed get up and go to assess for fall risk, and over half had difficulty completing it. We used 14 seconds as the cutoff. So over half had some fall risk. We assessed for ADL, IDL performance. Actually, somewhat surprisingly, our enrollees were fairly independent in terms of ADLs. They scored 10 on average out of 12 possible. Much lower score on the instrumental activities of daily living, 9.6 out of a possible 16. So many of them actually were eligible for some sort of home health aid assistance. Our social workers like to use the K6, which is kind of a global measure of psychiatric stress. It includes both anxiety and depression. And actually, we were expecting to see more cases of depression, which consistent with other providers of geriatric care. We were not. So the actual K6 scores are relatively low. From a high score of 20, our population had a mean score of 1.6. Some of this may be cultural, some of this may be just that these particular elders have less psychosocial stressors than other providers of geriatric care. We administered the SF8, which is, many of you probably know the SF36. This is the latest, shortest version. So 50 is supposed to be U.S. mean. Our elders actually seemed happier than the U.S. mean. They scored 55 on the SF8. On the physical score, they were lower than the U.S. mean, 42. That's not surprising. We were actually a little bit surprised at the higher scoring of the psychiatric score measures. We're missing QuickTime. Okay. So this was going to be a histogram of of the utilization of provider visits. So our 230 elders made a total of 2,600 visits with providers. The mean was about 11, so fairly high utilization rates. We had essentially a two-thirds time of a social worker clinic. Our elders used about 1,600 visits with a social worker. Mean number of visits with the social worker was 7, so very high utilization for both medical visits and social work visits. This was going to be a histogram showing that very few of our patients actually accessed our on-site co-located mental health visits. We had actually only four elders required mental health visits. They used each had about 10, 12 visits, but the vast majority did not require mental health visits. As for emergency department or hospitalizations, we had a total of 111 visits. So each elder had less than one visit over the 2 years. There were 29 hospitalizations. They were hospitalized for about 3 to 4 days. The reasons for hospitalizations were essentially what you'd expect. 21% were falls or fractures. 20% were dizziness. Very few were actually strokes. Mostly were kind of rule-out strokes. 20% were infections, pneumonias, urinary tract infections, fevers. CV was chest pain. Neuro was dizziness. Some GI bleeds. Some oncologic issues. In conclusion, the elders, the Chinese American elders that were enrolled in a primary care geriatric care program required multiple visits with providers and needed multiple visits with social workers to provide fairly high quality geriatric comprehensive care. We noted fairly high rates of dementia, although mild, given the population we enrolled. Mobility difficulty issues were very common, as well as diminished capacity for performing instrumental activities for daily living. A surprising note is the lower rate than reported. Psychiatric issues that were as evidenced by the low utilization rates in mental health services. Given that mean age for these elders was over 80, we had a relatively low rate of overall utilization of emergency departments and hospitals. This is our experience. It's obviously a very select group, but I think it's a useful database for people planning similar interventions or people assessing the needs for community-dwelling elderly patients with language and cultural barriers to accessing care. Thank you.